Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm back in the studio, sitting right across from my healed, recovered from COVID, co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Matt. I'm so glad to be breathing the same air as you again.
I know. Until the next thing that gets us both sick.
I know. I did tweak my back already. The first day back at the gym, I tweaked it, and I was like, oh. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm here. We're all right.
All right, coming up today, we're going to kick things off with a little ranting, and then we got Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous worst news of the week, and then we're diving deep into what people want you to believe is self-care, but is actually torture, okay? Yeah, that's right, we're bitching about relaxing, because there is truly nothing that we cannot enjoy on this podcast.
No.
I will bitch about everything that brings me joy. I don't give a shit! And finally, we'll get into all the good stuff that makes the bad shit go down easier with our chasers.
See, we get positive. We get positive on the show.
Yeah, we'll have a little dose of positive at the end. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right. Well, we're back in the studio. We're
had a little bit of a pubescent crack in your voice there.
Listen, I once again drank last night.
Surprise.
Not only that, but I had someone convinced me it'd be a good idea to just get like a vodka and water.
That's not a cocktail. That's watered down vodka.
The bartender made it unquestioningly. He did not even, it didn't blink. I mean, it was a gay bar, so I feel like they're just used to alcoholics.
Yeah, jeez, that is like a deeply upsetting order.
To be fair, It actually was effective in slowing me down. I think that was the point, was it's like, order something that is so disgusting that there's no way you're just going to sip it down because you have to take your time with that. And it worked.
Wow.
But I had that, and then I had another vodka soda, and I did have a lemon drop
shot.
Okay,
so it didn't work, actually.
It could have been way worse, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But then it was basically midnight, and everybody had almost left. And then there was a group there that was like, no, get another. So in my head, I was like, you know what a good like end of the night drink is? Just a full cup of rosé.
Matthew, you need to get it together.
Luckily, I was like, I'm not finishing this glass because that motherfucker filled it to the brim.
Those are just all bad ideas.
I will say, like, overall, I feel like my choices weren't horrible in that I do
think... The justification that you are able to pull out of that ass.
I do think I, the vodka and water, I probably will do again for the sole purpose of the fact that it was so disgusting and that it did slow me down.
All right, yeah.
And I'm realizing in my old age that I do need drinks that are high volume and that I can drink slowly.
Right,
because
right.
I famously will suck down whatever is in front of me, mm-hmm. especially at a gay bar. Anyway, what's your gripe of the week?
Oh, I love how we just launch in. We just launch right in, yeah. My gripe of the week is about movie trailers, okay? Mm-hmm. Movie trailers are deceptive. Here's what happened.
Yeah, what? There's an example, clearly.
Yeah. Alex and I, it was like our last night of COVID quarantine. And uh-huh. we were like, let's just have a fun little movie night. Let's take a little edible, have a little movie night. It's going to be great. There's a foreign comedy that we have been looking forward to watching for a while based off of a very funny trailer that was edited incredibly. And we were like, this tone, this pace is exactly what we're trying to go for tonight. The fact that it's foreign language and has subtitles might be a bit of an issue for the edible, but you know what? Let's just try it. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
It was the biggest buzzkill movie ever. It was not a comedy. It was not fast-paced. It was essentially about why Romanian culture is deeply upsetting.
Okay.
It was really like we thought that it was a story of, okay, the movie is called Bad Luck Banging. It seemed like the story was going to be about a high school teacher at a private prep school who makes a sex tape with her husband.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like what happens after that and like the parents getting upset about it and like, you know, and we were like, okay, this seems like interesting but funny and all this stuff. And then it ended up just being like, here's why Romania, the country, hates women and also Jews. And it was like so the biggest buzzkill. It was like felt like the longest movie ever. I, in another context, maybe would have enjoyed it as like a thinker.
Sure.
But in the context of this trailer looks funny, we're going to have a fun movie night, eat an edible and watch a comedy. And then it ends up being nothing like the trailer. It's like how... Mm-hmm. How are you doing? This is false advertising. We should be able to sue. We should be able to get free popcorn for life. Even though we watched it at home, I still think like the producers of that movie should be sending me popcorn.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, famously, I'll start a sentence with not to victim blame, but if I were high, I don't know if I would go with a Romanian foreign film.
Alex had wanted to see it for a while. I wanted to watch the movie Limitless, which...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the guy is limitless?
Yeah. It's young Bradley Cooper.
Right.
And he's... Yeah. I had never seen that movie. And I was like, that's the vibe I want.
By the way, that was a quote from Phyllis from The Office, obviously.
Oh, I absolutely missed it. But...
they watch that movie on a bus and she's like, oh, Limitless. Is that the one where the guy is limitless? Love Phyllis.
But no, instead we watched Bad Luck Banging, or Loony Porn is the full title. Mm. And I think there are also so many times where a trailer just ends up being better than the movie.
Yeah.
And other times where a trailer tells you exactly what happens, gives you like the biggest, most important scenes in the movie in the trailer. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing with trailers?
Yeah. The point is, a trailer kind of should spoil the movie a little bit.
A little bit.
Because
it,
you should
it needs
know
to get
what you're
you there.
Expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time I want to be deceived by a trailer is what happened with Barb and Star.
Yes.
Because
yes.
That trailer doesn't even scratch the surface of what that film is.
Right.
But it is a thing of beauty. The number of people also, this will be my rant, the number of people still in June, Pride Month 2022, who have not seen the film Barb and Star that has famously been out on Hulu for 2 years sickens me.
We need to host a live rowdy viewing.
At Alamo Draft House.
Yes.
Yeah,
please,
I'll fucking do it.
Alamo, call us. Like, that's all I want is to do that, is to host that. We need to get people to see that movie.
Yeah. My gripe.
Yeah. What's your gripe other than your terrible alcohol decisions?
Well, this will also be a bad decision. I realize I have a series of really poor decisions lately, but I forgot to mention this on the pod, this story. I went to an event a few weeks ago at Jacob's Pickles in New York City. Wonderful restaurant, wonderful establishment on the Upper West Side. They have amazing biscuits.
Oh,
it's like kind of Americana, Southern pancakes
just
and
like
waffles.
Delicious.
And
biscuits,
chicken and
their genre is delicious.
Yeah, their biscuits are so good. Oh. All of it. And they make pickles. They were doing a collaboration with Magnolia Bakery. Famously, they make the banana pudding that everybody loves. And so they had this dish that they're adding to their menu. I don't know for how long or if it's just a limited time thing. They do fried chicken and pancakes, but then in between the pancakes, they like put entire dollops of the banana pudding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so I went with my friend, and beforehand we were like, I mean, obviously we need to take like an edible before we go.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And
yeah.
I sort of expected that we would like go and they would kind of serve it to us and we'd be sitting at a table. No, it was like a full blown like event.
Right. Like like a step and repeat?
Not quite, but basically.
Yeah.
It was like the whole back area of the restaurant was closed off. There were all of these kind of influencer people invited. The like CEO of Magnolia Bakery there. The titular Jacob of Jacob's Pickles was there. I did not know who he was. And I introduced myself and I was like, so what do you do? And he was like, I'm Jacob. I was like, oh, fuck. My friend and I split an edible beforehand, and I normally would do like 5 milligrams,
right,
10 milligrams at the most if I want to have like a solid night. I don't know why I did not question how much was in it. Every time we've split one before, it has been a very small amount.
Right.
When I tell you, I met God that night.
And,
it
and
was
not,
not
in a good way.
Not in a good way. Absolutely not. I freaked the fuck out. It was so, so bad.
I got some alarming texts. I was legitimately worried about you.
I was literally like nonverbal. My body would not work. It turns out we split a 40 milligram
Why edible. Even make an edible of that amount? It's too much.
It's entirely too much. I truly broke out into like a cold sweat. I would wipe my forehead and it would be like a water, like just immediate waterfall.
Oh,
I was truly seeping through multiple layers. And the worst of it was like, I was like, we need to leave. I cannot be here anymore. This is embarrassing. But also I'm dreading leaving because I know I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get up and look this man in the face and say, thank you for letting me into your restaurant.
Thank you for all your pickles.
When I cannot form a single sentence. And I like thought for a second that it had been laced with something else. It was there's no way that was weed. I feel like that was something else. And then it turns out, no, it's just a fuck ton. So I learned my lesson.
Uh-huh.
Do not just unquestioningly take half of an edible without confirming at least thrice how much is in it. And I think I should have learned my lesson a long time ago not to take an edible or do any type of weed product before going to a public event.
Yeah. I remember when we did that and then went to the screening of The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Exactly. It's never once worked out
for
me. So I learned my lesson there.
So
in conclusion, if you are listening to this and are concerned for my health and are worried about the choices that I'm making, at least understand that in this case, I will not be repeating it, even though famously I just repeated it.
Yeah, to be clear, this story happened before the kickball drinking story.
Correct.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm doing great. My breathing is like labored today. I'm like losing my voice. But it's going great. Before we get to our headlines, we need to hear what some of our listeners have been calling into the rant hotline about. Let's hear it.
Hi, Matt and Barry. I am drunk.
Yes.
And my name is Kelly. I'm calling because I just want to tell you the one thing that I hate that every other fucking bitch seems to love, and that is Aperol spritzes. You cannot convince me that an Aperol spritz is a delicious beverage. That tastes like absolute dog shit. And I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of bitches being like, it's spritz season. Like, you don't like that drink. You are lying to all of Instagram. No one likes Aperol. Everyone is just pretending. That's all. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Wow, Kelly.
Okay, I have thoughts.
Yeah.
My initial reaction is, how dare you? I hope you die. That is my... That is my initial reaction, but that, again, is just coming from my id. when I think about it a little bit more, listen, I do kind of have to agree that I don't love the taste of an Aperol Spritz.
No, I love the aesthetic.
Yeah, it is like a vibe. It's kind of like there's just an energy of an Aperol Spritz.
I love the bubbles. I love, you know, the like mixing of just two or three things and you've got like a lovely little summer drink.
That is also kind of the mystique of the Aperol Spritz is that nobody really knows what's in it.
Right. Like what is Spritz?
If you had to kind of list the ingredients, you couldn't.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, it's not my favorite drink.
No.
But have I drank many of them in the past month? Yeah. Especially when I was in Italy. That was like everyone gets spritzes all the time. Also, yeah, it's like the perfect color for a summer drink.
It's the it's all about the aesthetic.
It's beautiful. And you usually get like a little orange slice in it. Then it's like, oh, I'm getting citrus. I'm vitamin C. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fresh.
Right. You're like, this is a supplement.
Right. It's basically emergency.
Yeah.
It's like I can breathe just raw faced on an airplane and not get sick.
Yeah.
That is medically true also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yes. But I have recently converted, though, to a limoncello spritz.
Oh, see, that's, I was going to say, the spritz part of an Aperol spritz is not what I have issue with.
It's the Aperol. Yeah.
And so, like, if we can combine spritz with something else, limoncello, that is brilliant. I'm absolutely on board for that.
I thought I was scarred from drinking limoncello in Italy because I did have, it's like just pure sugar. And if you just drink a lot of limoncello on its own, it's not great. You're not going to feel great and you will hope for death. But if you, if you make a limoncello spritz, it's literally just like a shot of limoncello, a shot or two of like Prosecco, and then you fill it with like soda water or seltzer.
Yeah, no, that sounds delicious. Let's make that the drink of the summer.
I brought it to a party recently and I loved it.
Oh, good.
I can't speak for anybody else because I had too much of it.
Oh my God. The roller coaster we have gone on in the intro alone.
What I am learning about myself is that because I recently changed my medication and I'm not really supposed to drink on this medication, that is why it only takes a couple of drinks and then it mixes together and it's like, you know, not a great combination.
Right.
Has it stopped me? Absolutely
no.
not.
That's why I like that you keep saying that you're learning from these mistakes. And I think it's like you're observing these mistakes.
Sure, I'm aware of them.
Yeah.
I'm not in denial about them.
Right. You're also not acting on changing them.
They are slightly improved. Every time is trial and error, and mostly error, I would say.
Yeah.
But we're slowly narrowing down what I am capable of taking in.
Right. It's like Whole 30, but for vices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'll start reintroducing a lot of the poison.
Right.
And hope for the best.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about a spritz that I do like, though, is it is supposed to be like a relatively low alcohol drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a seltzery thing.
Yeah. I love it. Sounds great. Let's do it.
Overall, spritzes, yes.
Yeah.
Aperol, questionable.
Yeah. Aperol spritz, out of here. Limoncello spritz, come on in.
Anyway.
Trend alert.
You heard it here first. Anyway, that's it for our gripes. Now, let's get to our headlines. All right, worst things first. Let's shout about the worst news of the week. And we haven't done worst things first in a while, actually. So we got some stuff to chat about first. This is a truly insane story, and I don't know how it went unnoticed for the last few weeks. Last May, there was this celebrity chimpanzee named Tonka.
Loving where this is starting.
They starred in George of the Jungle, another movie called Buddy. I don't know that movie.
I don't know, but George of the Jungle was, you know, deeply imprinted on me.
Yeah. For some reason, this story was from Rolling Stone, but for some reason, they specifically said that this monkey was Alan Cumming's co-star.
Okay.
I don't know why out of everybody in all of these movies, they were like, Alan Cumming's co-star, Tonka the chimpanzee, died.
Has anyone interviewed Alan about this loss?
Not in this article, but who knows?
We got to reach out.
It was just his giant picture of Alan Cumming's face that was this story. Anyway, last May 2021, Tonka the chimpanzee died.
Oh, R.I.P. to a legend.
According to his owner, Tonka suffered a stroke and died from heart failure. And the owner had to submit, like, court documents attesting to this. They gave it to a judge saying, like, here's how he died. And also, like, we burned his body in a fire pit. It was like, he's no longer on this planet.
Right, we had a Viking ceremony.
But a couple of weeks ago, Tonka was found alive.
Twist!
This is the true crime documentary that we need.
Why were they protecting Tonka like this?
Apparently, Tonka was secretly hidden away for the past year in Missouri, where he reportedly had a 60-inch TV,
okay,
an iPad device, and had celebrated, I don't know, these facts are so weird, had celebrated St. Patrick's Day with some of his owner's close friends.
Okay, Tonka is living life large.
I just love how this monkey had been in hiding for a year, an entire year's worth of holidays. And for some reason, they call out the fact that he celebrated St. Patrick's Day. He's Irish, you know?
Yeah. He just sounds like a great retired dad, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, this is my man cave. I got my big-ass TV, my iPad, and my green beers for St. Patty's
Yeah,
Day.
Yeah, you just know he has a neon sign on the wall with a woman with giant tits. Anyway, so I guess what happened is that this owner was kind of the subject of PETA's investigations for a while.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if this was some type of person who was like collecting exotic animals, and PETA was like, you're done. And this person was like, well, okay, I guess I'll just fake the death of Tonka and keep him in my basement. And now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, PETA managed to get a search, I don't know, working with authorities, this woman's house got searched and she confessed to it and was like, yeah, I faked Tonka's death. It was my kind of last ditch effort to keep Tonka from having to be turned over. And there were six other chimpanzees that the owner was being like ordered, I guess, to surrender to a sanctuary. And she was like, no. You can't make me if he's dead.
Yeah. When in reality, he's watching football on Sundays.
Yeah, even though it does sound
Mondays?
Like...
When does football happen?
That is a great question that I still do not know the answer to, because I always thought it was on Sundays, and now all of a sudden we have Monday night football. And when I say all of a sudden, I mean for the last several decades. And I don't understand why they can't just pick a fucking day so I can only hear about it one time a week. And I don't have to fear for my life when I'm walking through the streets and I see a bunch of bros in oversized jerseys.
And oversized chimpanzees,
yeah,
getting excited.
PETA apparently said that when Tonka was found, he was being kept in a very small cage that was nailed to the floor in the basement.
No.
And he was overweight and he wasn't allowed outside and he didn't have any companionship. So it does not sound like he was, he was not truly living the man cave life. Although,
right. No, I mean, maybe a human man cave's life, but that's not good for a chimp.
Right. I would agree that this is my lifestyle, actually. Yeah. Lives in a small cage, reportedly overweight, not allowed outside, and has no companionship.
Oh, it is like looking in a mirror.
Love to relate to tragedy. She was finally busted because she confessed to it on a phone call. And I guess PETA recovered this phone call or was like tapping her phones or something. Anyway, this woman has absolutely no remorse. She was like, honey, I've been held. This is a direct quote. Honey, I've been held in contempt of court three times. I've paid $50 a day in fines. I've been through the mill. I'm sure there'll be some jail time in this. Do I care? No, I don't care. It's because it's about that kid. As long as that kid is safe, I don't care about nothing out there. And I'm assuming she's talking about the chimpanzee.
Right. Who sounds like maybe they weren't safe in her care.
Yeah.
I also, because I was like, wait, George of the Jungle came out in like 1955. Not true. But, you know, George of the Jungle came out in what feels like a million years ago. And I was like, how is it possible that a chimp is still alive? Chimps probably only live like 10 years. Nope, turns out chimps in captivity live to be like around 30 to 35 years old. So
yeah.
I don't like thinking about the fact that there are chimpanzees the same age as I am. There's something about that that bothers me.
That is incredibly upsetting to think about. Yeah. And I remember two things about that movie. Being rock hard for Brendan Fraser as George of the Jungle. And then the fact that all of the monkeys were very obviously like cartoon
characters. Yeah, like animatronic like
Muppets. Yeah, they were Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah.
And I don't remember a real monkey at any time.
No. But so Tonka's work, maybe not as impactful as everyone thinks.
Perhaps not the celebrated actor that he is being presented by Rolling Stone magazine. Anyway, next, an 8-year-old boy took off in his mother's SUV and drove through an entire North Carolina city with an infant sibling in the back seat.
Wow, it sounds like this kid's a better driver than I am.
Yeah, hello NASCAR. You got a little young recruit, am I right? Anyway, police said the boy's mother reported that she handed the boy her keys and asked him to start the vehicle. This is an 8-year-old child.
Not to victim blame, but maybe don't do that.
Yeah, not to like parent shame, but when I was 8 years old, I was not trusted with anything.
No.
I could barely start my remote control vehicle. All I wanted was one of those Barbie cars.
Yeah.
And I was never allowed one.
The kind where you are in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are incredible.
I feel like they didn't really perfect that technology until a few years after I was a child.
Yeah, and now they make them and they're like Ferraris and stuff. And you're like, Oh my God, just going in absolute style.
So anyway, yeah, this mom asked her 8-year-old boy to start the car. And not only did he start it, but he drove across town with his 1-year-old sibling in the back seat. I mean, yeah, brace yourselves for some mom shaming. You just had your 1-year-old child in the back seat by themselves, and then you gave your keys to an 8-year-old and was like, go start the car. I don't understand. So the mom called 911 and she was like, oh no, my kids are missing. Also, my car is gone. Maybe someone stole it. And then I guess someone saw a kid, an 8-year-old behind the wheel, just going ham. He drove for nearly 2 miles towards his house and then left again before authorities stopped him. Oh my God, wait. So this kid drove 2 miles to their house and was like, I'm not done yet.
Also, I'm just impressed with this kid. Like, not only could he drive, but he was able to drive home. He remembered the directions. He's not using Google Maps. Like, I can't drive home without my Google Maps, you know?
Yeah, I do remember that as being a kind of, like, defining moment in my childhood of when I could first identify, like, what turns to make to get back to our house.
Yeah.
And it was purely based on miles, like,
you're like, that bush over there, that kind of looks like boobies.
Could not tell you a single street name.
No.
Direction.
Mm-mm.
Don't know, you know, which way the sun is setting.
No.
can barely spell. But I do know we turn at the McDonald's. The boy's mother said that he had never driven a car and that he had accidentally put it in reverse and then somehow put it into drive when it started moving. How does she know that?
Yeah. How do you also accidentally do both of those things? I just feel like there's too many coincidences here.
The boy said that he was scared and drove into the middle of the road to avoid cars, but he knew to stop at traffic lights because he watched his mom do it.
Again, this kid is better at his first time behind the wheel than I was when I was 16.
Yeah. There's something about this is a little fishy. She knows too many details. This is Balloon Boy all over again. Yeah, I do remember the first time I drove in a real car, because we had these simulators in high school. Mm. There was like a driver's ed room, and it was basically a big video game, and everybody sat behind this little machine. There was just one projected screen, and you'd watch this like very old school video, and like the car would like start approaching like a stop sign and you had to like press the brake at like the perfect amount of feet away from the stop sign in order. It was like a very specific set of things that you had to do to control this vehicle that did not match a real vehicle.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And it took all of your pressure to push the brake down. And so when I first got into a real car, I thought you had to slam the brake life was on the line. And my mom, when I tell you, her face was like inches away from the dashboard because I slammed on that brake so hard. And she was like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I thought you had to.
Yeah, no. I mean, my dad taught me how to drive in the high school parking lot. And we like spent several times just in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And the first time that we went on the road was just from one exit of the parking lot back to the entrance. So it's like a stretch of maybe 100 feet. Like, uh-huh. It's nothing. And I cried, like, a lot I got onto that street. And meanwhile, this 8-year-old boy is like, let's fucking go!
Yeah, he's like, strap in. We're going for a joyride. Anyway, they're all doing fine. And finally, this story was sent to us by several people. It has been all over Twitter, the internet, TikTok for the past several days.
Yep.
It is truly the wildest story, but also, like, just tragic.
Yeah, just, like, very sad. So we want to preface this by saying it's a very sad story.
We recognize how morbid this is and that ultimately someone did die. Okay, here it is. An elephant in eastern India killed a 70-year-old woman. But that was not enough for this elephant.
No.
This elephant was not happy to just let the dead rest, because this elephant showed up to the woman it killed's funeral. Because
they've got good-ass memories.
And then trampled all over her dead body.
Oh, my God.
It is this elephant. I don't know who hurt this elephant. Clearly, this woman did something to this elephant. Famously, an elephant never forgets.
Yeah.
And this elephant not only killed this woman, but showed up to her funeral and was like, you thought this was the end. It's not. And then just in front of all of the funeral goers, in front of this woman's family and loved ones, desecrated her body.
This elephant's a screenwriter and it's living its own story. Like, you can't write that. And I want to interview this elephant.
Yeah, this is the mind of a killer.
Yeah.
This is truly, like, truly unhinged elephant behavior.
Yeah.
And I cannot, I mean, the reason this has gone so viral, yeah, it's just, like, truly insane.
Yeah, because it also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that this elephant was then, like, it's not like the woman died and the next day was the funeral in the same spot where she died and where the elephant was. You know what I mean? Like, the elephant had to seek out.
Right.
And also, no one, like, sent the elephant an invitation to this funeral.
No, this was, like, methodical, premeditated. This was first-degree murder. If this elephant were human, it would be a death sentence.
Yeah.
Although, here in the U.S., there was a huge court case. I think it was the ACLU who was suing, like, the Bronx Zoo, I think, to release an elephant who they were like, we want, this elephant is being held in captivity and it shouldn't be. And a courthouse was like, an elephant is not a person. So, we can't charge this elephant with murder.
This elephant can, in fact, get away with murder and then desecrating the corpse days later.
Yeah, it is just like, this is true, like, Jason Bourne. This elephant is working for someone. There was a hit out against this woman. Either this elephant is some type of Russian agent or
right. This
elephant had, yeah, like a blood feud that could only be settled.
Like, when it was a baby elephant, this woman, like, made fun of one of its ears and then it grew up and, like, held a grudge against her and finally pushed her over the edge.
Yeah.
That's just one option.
I will say that, like, if I were killed by an elephant,
mm-hmm.
I would want it to come to my funeral and then throw me around.
Right. Like, it's pretty boss.
I would say, like, for myself, I would enjoy the theatricality of that.
Yeah. Do you think that actually the woman was in on it then?
Maybe. Yeah. She was like, here's what's going to happen. I'm out.
This is actually in her will. Here's what I want for my funeral.
Right.
I want my murderer to come and wreak havoc.
Some elephants choose to be painters. Some elephants choose to be cold-blooded killers. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we're diving deep into how self-care is the worst. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLL and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Who celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, here's the deal. I'm hungover, as has been established multiple times in this episode. I will likely be hungover for the next 8 to 10 weeks as we record on Wednesdays, and I will be going to kickball every Tuesday and then drinking afterwards. And that means, yeah, I'm going to be hungover for every Wednesday this summer. So am I in a bad mood? Yeah. Do I need some TLC? Absolutely. Am I going to complain about taking care of myself?
Instead of actually doing it?
Yes. Because I am what? Mentally ill. The point is, okay, relaxing is hard.
It is.
Self-care, it takes work.
It does.
And I know it's like, oh, yo, Matt, is, you know, there's a war going on. Okay.
Truly the worst, scariest news every single morning I wake up and I'm so sad.
Yeah, like, aren't there more important things in the world to complain about? No. Okay? Because the only way I can deal with the fact that there is a war and climate change and monkeypox coming for all of us is the fact that I need self-care. And sometimes self-care is difficult. Also, one of my kickball teammates is a doctor and was like, yeah, I saw my first monkeypox case today. And I was like,
no. Nope.
Wait, do you mean you like you were with that person? He's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, cool.
Oh, God,
okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, great. Is he gonna, the kind of doctor who, like, wears his own clothes to work or the kind that puts on a coat?
He was like, you know, obviously we were all, like, in hazmat suits, basically.
Okay.
But, like, with monkeypox, as far as I know, you don't get it from, it's, like, very close contact with people.
Uh-huh.
But I was still like, nice. To be clear, he would have not been infectious yesterday.
Great. But maybe by next kickball game.
The point is, yeah, sometimes self-care is difficult. So let's get into it. This is the worst things about self-care. First of all, why the fuck is every self-care activity the cost of like an entire display of blood diamonds?
Say it with me
now.
Capitalism.
Yay. I'm just supposed to relax during a nice luxurious facial or some shit while some pseudo doctor in a Halloween store lab coat rubs creams and oils all over my face and charges me like an entire semester of a college tuition just for this one treatment? No! Oh, Matt, but you can just buy a clay mask at the drugstore and you can do it yourself and it'll be cheap.
No, because then also you have to buy all of the tools for it. Because nowadays, I guess you can't just put a mask on your face. You have to spread it with a brush. I know because I just bought a brush for putting on masks.
Also, yeah, like one little jar of mud costs like one teacher's salary.
Yeah.
None of it is cheap, even though it is literal clay from the bottom of a river. And then it's like, oh, yeah, no, why don't you just buy the stuff from the drugstore? That'll work just fine. Okay. And risk developing some flesh-eating bacteria from a CVS brand moisturizer? No. Oh, but Matt, self-care doesn't have to be cost you anything. Why don't you just go for a walk? Hey, go fuck yourself. I don't want to go for a walk. Self-care is about spending money. And shit is expensive. The point is, yeah, every self-care activity that we as a society have come to call self-care is outrageously expensive, inaccessible, and I don't like it.
And by I don't like it, I mean I don't like it, but I want it all.
Yeah.
I have now been groomed into thinking those are the only ways that I can be happy.
Yeah. Oh, the only way I can be happy is if I buy some type of paint roller made out of crystals that I put in the freezer overnight and then rub against my temples. Also, sorry, I just cannot get behind the idea of being relaxed while someone, a complete stranger who I'm giving money to, is rubbing my face or any part of my body, to be honest.
Not only rubbing, but the type of facials that I have gotten include dermaplaning, which is a fancy way of saying she shaves my face with an actual razor.
Yeah.
And one time I flinched on accident and she was like, oh, honey, don't do that. Because I have a blade to your face.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Now I'll just be terrified of flinching and all I can think about is flinching and like thinking about every single muscle in my face right now.
Right.
And I'm just lying there with my like fingers so tight. But that's supposed to be just like a chill time that I spend hundreds of dollars for.
Yeah, that's relaxing. That's supposed to calm you mm-hmm. and improve your life.
Yeah. Also, I love the woman who does this to my face, but she's also pregnant and on maternity leave, and you know what's gotten a lot better since I stopped seeing her?
Your skin.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the thing. It's like, it's all kind of a lie. It's just kind of like what you believe.
Yeah.
Works. But that's the thing, though, is like you see celebrities go from, you know, it's often called the like second season glow up, mm-hmm. where people are like, there's a television show and you have new actors in a new show. And then that show gets really famous after the first season. And then you see them in the second or third season. And you're like, wow, everything about you got better.
Yeah,
like your skin got better. Your hair got better.
Yeah.
And it's because you got rich.
Right.
And then someone told you what to spend your money on.
Yeah.
So there is something to it.
Yeah. I would just worry. Not at that level of rich.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I would like to believe that it's all just like hokey pokey
right.
and none of it is real, but ultimately it is real.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
yeah. That being said, some of these people are like, oh no, it's just because I lay out during a full moon. And it's like, okay, well, absolutely not. Anyway, yeah, I just cannot get behind the idea of like lying on a table and sitting still while some stranger uses my face skin like Play-Doh. It
no.
just is not going to work for me. Next, half of the self-care activities are really just kind of chores that I've put off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this isn't self-care. This is just me carrying all of the cereal bowls that have accumulated on my nightstand from my bedroom all the way to the kitchen. That is what my self-care is, just so I can feel human again. This is not self-care. This is me just taking a shower for the first time in 3 days after a depressive spiral left me stewing in my own filth for the entire weekend. This is not self-care. This is me finally taking out the trash from the bathroom garbage can that I have let build up like a mountain of tissue against the wall because I absolutely refuse to empty it until it is a disaster. That is true. I like to think, you know, how tall can I kind of pile the garbage?
Right.
Until
you're
it becomes...
actually like a competitive trash piler.
Yeah. And it's eco-friendly because
yeah.
then I'm only using one bag and only exerting mm-hmm. the energy of going to the trash chute like once every 2 months.
Oh, my God.
That's not actually true. My friend Adam tweeted how, as an adult, one of the best decisions he made was getting a full-size garbage can in his bathroom. There's no reason why you should not have a full-size garbage can in your bathroom.
We have a tiny one.
Yeah, but like, why did we as a society just decide we're going to have small little cans in our, like,
That's such
tins,
a good point. Yeah.
When it's like, that is, besides the kitchen, the biggest place that you are producing trash every day.
Right, yeah. And the grossest trash, arguably.
Yeah. The grossest trash that most people just have a lidless garbage can in their bathroom. The other half of self-care activities are basically just me ignoring all of the responsibilities that I have.
Ah.
Because that is how I kind of justify being lazy as shit. It's just being like, no, I'm not going to, you know, respond to that email today because actually it's for my mental health.
Right. Like, I need the space to take care of myself.
Right.
And therefore procrastinate on all of the actual things I need to do.
I'm blowing past this deadline because that's actually what is best for me.
In order to then do the work.
Exactly. Yeah. The part of my process, part of allowing myself to be me, part of trusting my brain, part of trusting my body is saying, no, I'm not going to follow the law.
Yeah.
I'm going to run the red light.
Right.
I'm going to drink and drive. Next, actually, I would say most self-care activities that I partake in are just things that are actually going to like ruin my day tomorrow. Where it's like, oh, let me just take this luxurious nap throughout the day and then wake up at 8 p.m. not knowing what year it is and then not being able to fall asleep later and ultimately guaranteeing that I will be exhausted for the entirety of tomorrow. That is my self-care.
Right.
I would say there is an incredibly fine line between self-care and just kind of self-destruction.
Yeah. I would say that that's just toxicity.
Yeah. Like, for example, I think one of my forms of self-care is like getting high, ordering an entire cheesecake, and then spending hundreds of dollars on products that I don't need.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, some would say, no, that's not actually self-care. That's, you know, toxic behavior. But that is what works for me.
Right. Works is a strong word.
Yeah. I mean, what is your ideal self-care activity?
See, and I'm like, is it even that I have an ideal self-care activity or I just like don't want any of the other responsibilities that make me feel like I need a self-care day? But I guess my ideal self-care is not being around anyone and like embroidering and listening to something.
Right.
Yeah.
You're kind of consciously choosing just to not be anxious about anything and right. not worry about anything.
Yeah.
Which ultimately is impossible.
Yeah. I can't do those things because I'm constantly worried about all of the things.
Right.
So I have to finish all of those things before I even can get to the point of relaxing. Relaxing doesn't make me less anxious. I just do the thing so that I stop being anxious. And then I relax.
Yeah. I also think that, like, yeah, a lot of self-care activities are really just deciding, oh, I'm going to, like, stay in tonight instead of going out. And then I'm just going to be anxious about missing out on what I could have done if I'd gone out.
Yeah. And I also would say things like doing, like, a face mask. I wouldn't say that it's, like, in the moment that is the time. It's like, no, I'm doing this because I want my skin to look good because that makes me feel better because I'm vain.
Right.
You know, it's not like, it's not like, oh, I'm doing this to, like, spiritually take care of myself and, like,
yeah.
connect with the ground elements that are on my face. It's like, no, I want to look pretty. Because society
like
is bad.
We both kind of understand deep down what is required for a true, proper self-care, and
yeah.
we just don't partake in
it. No.
To be clear, we are engaging in the most vapid, vain, shallow version
of self-care.
Yeah, the marketing
of it and the absolute appropriation of self-care as well.
Yeah, ultimately, we are partaking in capitalist mm-hmm. Self-care, and
it's actually like pretty radical of us to be taking it down here, you know?
Yeah.
To be complaining about it here is like, wow.
To be saying, we know what you're doing and yes, we're buying into it. But no, but it's not making us feel better.
Maybe this deep dive and using this platform to talk about how all of these things are really bad, even though we continue to do it also because we want to do it, will inspire other people to really rethink their version of self-care appropriation.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I would say like true proper self-care is forcing my brain to do things that I have broken its ability to do, like reading or like the new version of reading, which is just watching a TV show without looking at my phone.
That requires,
I'm like, no, I'm a scholar, actually. by watching this television show without looking at my phone, this is what like Aristotle did.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely. And
also,
you should compare yourself to Aristotle.
He was a fucking idiot. Okay. I was just reading a book about eels. Brag.
Okay.
Does anybody want to fuck? I did read an entire book about eels. It was called The Book of Eels. I highly recommend. It was actually very interesting. But I do get fucked up thinking about it because we, like, don't know where eels come from. Do I even want to get into this?
No, no. We can do a whole other this has definitely inspired. We should do another Stoned episode.
Yeah.
And discuss eels because I can't go there right now, eels. Right here.
Also, let's be real. Self-care is mostly just disassociating from reality. Self-care is really just about saying, for this half hour, for this hour, I'm going to forget that everything is falling apart. Mm-hmm. I'm going to forget that, like, the world is ending, all of the tragedy in my own life, all of the trauma of my past. I'm
just going to be here now. Be here, you know.
Right. For this 30-minute bath, I'm going to act like nothing is wrong.
I'm not going to think about the amount of water that I am using.
Yeah. Self-care is really just about tricking your brain into forgetting about your actual life.
Sounds so healthy and good and definitely what the ancestors wanted.
Also, yeah, I do love that there is a very fine line between self-care and some of the craziest shit you've ever heard in your life. Some people are out here, like, suggesting the most toxic behaviors in the name of self-care. People be like, yeah, do you have a toxic roommate who is constantly telling you to wash the dishes that you've left in the sink for 3 weeks and are clearly growing molds? Like, you need to evict that bitch, okay? Do it for your mental health. And it's like, no, you are the problem. This is like a problem on the internet, the way that Twitter and, like, I feel like it comes from Tumblr a lot, and TikTok is starting to do this, where people have, like, totally appropriated, like, therapy talk.
Oh, yeah.
And use to it
justify.
To justify any behavior that is, like, clearly wrong. Where it's like, no, okay, you're a 17-year-old who found a thesaurus. You're not a therapist. I mean, this is Gen Z. We need to do an entire deep dive about Gen Z. I will lean into being an elder, okay? But yeah, you're the problem. You are the problem, sweetie. Also, self-care-wise, I don't want to light a fucking candle, okay? I feel like I've gone off on candles before.
You have.
Fuck candles.
And you will again.
I'll go off on Mr. Yankee, Mr. Doodle, Diptyque, whatever, even the fancy candles. I just think there's very few candles that pass my smell test. My very sensitive nose. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm sure this is entirely my mom instilling this inside of me, because she famously has been like, if the neighbor lights a candle in their house, she'll be like, my throat is closing up. And I'm like, that's not true. I'm so sorry, Deborah, but it's not actually how candles work or your body. But yeah, every time I, like, want to light a candle and I feel like it's going to be relaxing and it's the combination of, like, you know, aromatherapy / you know, just the vibe of a candle being lit.
Mm-hmm.
And it never is relaxing because ultimately I'm like, my senses are being assaulted. And yeah, do they make unscented candles? Sure.
But also with those, because, like, I bought these really, like, pretty pink and orange candles, and I was like, yeah, I'll definitely light these. But then when you're lighting them, it's like, am I supposed to just, like, enjoy having these lit because I'm a little nervous about them falling over? And also, then they're gone. Like, if you light them, they will burn, and then you don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is it giving me, you
right.
know?
Yeah, I mean, that ultimately is just what a candle does. You are kind of describing the life cycle of a candle. But I think what I get anxious about is, like, what is it? Like, where is it going?
Yeah.
It is just, you're telling me this wax is, like, turning into vapor, and then I'm, what, breathing it in? I don't understand. I feel like we're going to learn, like, 50 years from now that candles are like cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I think that, like, candles came before electricity, and we probably would have known that. But, you know, our reliance on candles is probably a lot less than it used to be.
Right.
Oh, and we lived a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Wow.
And finally, manicures and pedicures are uncomfortable as fuck. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I will never be comfortable with some stranger literally scrubbing my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot get over that power dynamic.
I don't like it.
Literally being in a throne above this person mm-hmm. and having them dip my feet into a little bath and then massage and scrub and then like clean the dirt from under my toenails. There is just, I will never be comfortable with that. It's ticklish.
And then I have to tell them that I'm ticklish because yeah. I flinch every time that they touch my feet.
It's basically torture.
Yeah.
And I'm not into that.
And I don't hear anyone else getting pedicures at the same time as me, like coming with the same baggage.
Right.
And having to like warn them about all of these things.
And then I'm worried that I'm going to like kick them in the face involuntarily. I'll have some type of like reflexive tick and then accidentally just like nail this woman in the face with my giant foot. I can always tell that they're absolutely judging my feet.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, is this the worst foot you've ever seen in your life? I bet it is.
Yeah, because it probably is. Also because this is actually like really brave of me. I have chronic ingrown toenails on my big toes. And every time I go in, they have to like dig like they're digging for treasure.
I'm making this the least treasure space.
And it's and they are judging my toes. And again, I don't hear the other people in the row, in the like thrones, just having to like give them all this information to be like, let me tell you what's wrong with my toes, what you have to do to, like, they're just sitting there getting their pretty little toes painted. And meanwhile, I'm like a witch's foot and they're, yeah. you know, going to town. And it's, I feel bad for them.
Exactly. For me, since you bravely shared your condition, mine is like my two big toes. I always have like a callus on them and they always just, yeah, I wish they were prettier.
Yeah.
We all have our baggage. But I'm always like, oh, yeah, they're going to have to like scrub.
Yeah.
They're going to have to use their elbows. And then I feel bad. Also, I'm scared that I'm like accidentally supporting some type of like slavery system. And I don't really love that.
Yeah. And like, how do we check in on that?
Yeah.
How do we vet?
Right. It's hard to tell, like, am I supporting a small business or am I...
literally supporting the slave trade.
Yeah, supporting, like, human trafficking. There's no way of knowing.
No?
You just have to cross your fingers and hope for the best. So, yeah, manicures, pedicures, not my favorite thing in the world. But you know what? Everybody, you do you. Self-care is very personal. And unless you are infringing on my ability to live my life in the best possible way, do whatever the fuck you want. And that's it for this week's deep dive. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. This week, I wanted to highlight a suggestion from our producer, Melissa. We highlighted this organization last year. It's called Wash Masks, and they work to provide masks for farm workers. And this year, the organization is trying to tackle kind of a new issue with farmers, which is the fact that farmers often work in very grueling conditions. They get very overheated, and they don't often have the supplies that they need in order to do their job without those kind of risks. So this organization is collecting donations. We can put the link in our bio so that you can either donate the items or donate money. But they are requesting items like hydration packs and cooling bands and pop-up shade tents. And even if you're able to share the link, or if you work at a small business or something that can raise awareness for stuff like this. But yeah, this is, you know, farm workers work in these very grueling conditions, heat stress, it's preventable, and they face kind of 20 times higher risk of possible health issues or death due to heat exposure. So donating can help. So we'll put the link in our bio and you can check that out. Also, if you want to find all of our Do Better White People shout outs from the past, you can go to the link in our Instagram bio. We update it every week. All right, let's get into the TV we're watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
So I want to preface this by saying I'm aware that home improvement types of shows are extremely popular. I enjoy watching them from time to time, but there's not like one that I watch. It's usually like if it's on and I'm like at Alex's parents' house and they have actual cable and it comes on and I watch it, or if I'm on a plane or something like that. But Trixie Mattel came out with a show mm-hmm. called Trixie Motel, where she renovates a motel that she and her partner bought uh-huh. in Palm Springs. I started watching it and I fucking love this show. It is so delightful. It's like the perfect amount of like produced, edited, scripted. It's like got some plot line and it's fun. And then also like actual, like I love the designs. It's so like maximalist and so much color. And I really love it. So it hits all those things and it's tricksy and it's so fun. And it's like weekly. So it's basically the motel has like 7 rooms and a lobby. And so each episode is a different room that they're designing.
Uh-huh.
And they have really fun guest stars on it, like Nicole Byer and Orville Peck. And it's just really fun and I'm really enjoying it. It's just like light and enjoyable. So that's what I'm watching. What about you?
I'm still on my Housewives kick. But the other show that I highly recommend if you are partaking in weed is Prehistoric Planet.
Ooh.
Do you know it?
I do, and I have not seen it.
It's Apple TV. Basically, it is Planet Earth. They've just recreated Planet Earth, the show. It's like David Attenborough is narrating it. It's shot the same. It's all that. But it's as if it's Planet Earth, but prehistoric. So it's like dinosaurs and stuff.
Right. So it's not all animated. Like
It is.
The dinosaurs obviously are because.
No, they filmed. No. Dinosaurs. It is kind of trippy, and maybe it's only because I've watched it like while being stoned, where I'm like, I don't know if I believe it more when I'm stoned or less.
Because I remember the movie Dinosaurs, and to me it's just kind of like that, but without plot.
It is incredibly advanced, like CGI. Like, it does look very real. But I think part of it is that because...
And so did Jurassic Park.
We did peak. We peaked with. I think that looks more real. Because the thing about Planet Earth is, like, if you watch Planet Earth, it's shot in, like, such vivid detail that almost looks fake.
Right.
And so when you're watching this, it's like, yeah, this looks super cool. But, like, it also, yeah, it's computer animated. Also, the entire time, I'm like, how could they possibly know this? And, like, this has to be made up a little bit. How could they possibly know that, like, this particular dinosaur that lived millions of years ago got bit by, like, 40 mosquitoes a day or something? Like, there's no way you would know that.
Especially because they were only made 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, I'm becoming a creationist. I don't remember this in Genesis, okay? I don't believe Matthew wrote about this in the Bible. Also, I was reading about mass extinction events, and that will kind of
freak great.
Me out.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. That's cool.
Because many people believe we are in the midst of the 6th mass extinction event. Anyway, so Prehistoric Planet, Apple TV, highly enjoying it. Also, God save David Attenborough. I cannot believe that man is still narrating television shows.
Has he just sounded like that since he was 17, or has his career just been in the last 10 years?
The Prehistoric Planet has like a 2-minute intro that I thought was just before the first episode. No, that's just the intro to every single episode that I have to skip every time. But it is David Attenborough standing in like the Natural History Museum addressing the camera. And it does make me a little sad because he's very old.
He's 96. I just looked it up.
Oh, my God.
He's 96 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he does.
He was born in 1926.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, he was there when the dinosaurs were there, so it does make sense. But, like, I think clearly when he's speaking to camera, they're not able to kind of edit his voice as much. In the narration, they can probably play around with it.
Yeah.
But, like, that first...
It's actually just a deep fake. He's not actually narrating it, and it's just a robot.
Anyway, but I do love that show. What's your non-TV chaser?
Ugh, my non-TV chaser is that I once again saw my queen, Phoebe Bridgers. I saw her at Celebrate Brooklyn. Muna, which is another band I really love, opened for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so fun and so good. They did Silk Chiffon with Phoebe. It was a great time. It was very different from, I mean, the show itself wasn't that different from when I saw her in LA, but like the vibe was very different. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great time and it made me so happy. And I love her so much and would die for her. And what about you? What's your non-TV chaser?
I don't know. I feel like I've been going to a lot of stuff this week. I feel like we've come out of the pandemic. I mean, she's still here, clearly, as someone who just had it sitting before me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've started to go to way more stuff now. But also, like, I am 2 years older than when the pandemic started and cannot keep up with my pre-pandemic lifestyle of going to multiple things a week and having drinks. But I got invited to go to the Taco Bell drag brunch this past weekend. I mean, pure
iconic
corporate pride.
Absolutely.
I admittedly fell for it. But I mean, what a great collaboration.
Yeah.
I didn't get paid or anything. It was not a sponsored post. Okay. But they invited me at the last minute and was like, hey, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I do.
Obviously.
And if you didn't hear, so yeah, Taco Bell is doing like a series of drag shows at Taco Bell cantinas throughout the U.S. And it was just fully in the middle of a Taco Bell. I mean, they did like shut it down.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't like there were just like people coming in off the street and like ordering chalupas. Also, it was at 10 in the morning.
I mean, it
was
a brunch.
Aggressive. Yeah, it was a drag brunch. But fully ridiculous. Just the visual of watching a drag queen do high kicks in the middle of a Taco Bell cantina while I'm eating a breakfast burrito and drinking a mimosa. Truly a highlight. A life highlight.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Not to mention that for some reason, I mean, there were a few like local New York queens who performed. And then they had a couple of like RuPaul's Drag Race performers. You don't know who these people are, but
no.
Jasmine Masters and Vanjie.
Uh-huh.
Do those names mean anything to you?
Vanjie means something to me.
Right. Vanjie became famous for saying, Miss Vanjie. Miss Vanjie. And then Jasmine Masters, also a meme queen. She's the one who's like, just as a thought, trash. She also is the And I Oop person, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, they sat next to us. It was very amazing. So, yeah, if you ever have the chance to go to a Taco Bell drag brunch, I highly recommend it. But also drag brunch in general is, it's a good time. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can buy our merch at unhappyhourshop.com. As always, you can head to the Odyssey app or wherever you get this podcast. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, and me, Matt Belisai. Hadeem Jang, Meredith Rice, and Kurt Courtney help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Oh, bye-bye.
I feel like now I'm supposed to do it, but I can't, so I'm not even going to try.